Blog Talk Radio.
The John Daly Show, Sports.
And hi, everyone. Week two is here. In fact, the Thursday game is in the books. We'll discuss that and the upcoming games along with your fantasy picks. And we will dive into what last week meant, because last week was a doozy of an opening week. With me, as always, is my expert, Eric Snyder. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also hear him on the Power Hour on Fox Sports Radio 1340 in Las Vegas. Boychuk, welcome.
Back at you. How you doing, John?
Doing good. Doing really good. Hey, Broncos Chiefs, that was a great game last night. Broncos win on a fumble return in the final minute. My quick takes, I'll let you talk about it. When did Jamaal Charles become a young Tiki Barber? Peyton Magic still there in the regular season. And I love the attacking Denver defense. I still think the Chiefs are a decent team. They had some weaknesses that the Denver D, good enough, exploited. What are your takes from last night?
Well, I'm going to do a little throwback. I'm going to do my best Howard Cosell imitation, but I'm going to tell you, for all your listeners, what that game reminded me of, because you and I have talked about this, and this is in the NFL annals. Let's go back to November 19th, 1978. The New Jersey Meadowlands. That man, Jersey Joe Pasanchik, goes to pen the ball off to Larry Zonka. Fumble! Picked up by Herman Edwards. He could go all the way. 26 yards. Touchdown, Philadelphia. And nomenclature can't describe the malaise that hangs over the Meadowlands as the Giants lose 19-17. And that goes that season. Back to you, Dandy John.
I love it.
You remember that game?
I remember it really well. And Pasanchik, he kind of goes down in the annals of, Merkel's boner, Buckner letting the ball go through the legs and all that. And so, can you say that last night? Yeah, I think in some respects you can, but there were still about 30 seconds. So I'm sure
let's do the similarities. 26 seconds ago in the game, the famed game between the Giants and the Eagles back in 1978, 27 seconds ago last night, the Eagles scored two touchdowns in the last 15, 20 seconds. The Broncos scored two touchdowns in 9 seconds. The first thing I thought about when I watched that last night was, wow, we just went back in time. And again, a divisional game. That game cost John McVay his job. Had a lot of it opened the doors for Parcells became the coach because of that game of the Giants. And I'm not saying that Andy Reid, who is a guy like John McVay, I'm opening a lot of memories for people, but Andy Reid has never beaten Peyton Manning. Okay, yeah. He's 0-7 as a coach, and you just start to think to yourself, when is Alex Smith going to turn it up? He claims to be an elite quarterback. I didn't see it last night, and you're right about Jamaal Charles. He's a top-5 running back in fantasy, but last night just you can't fumble twice. He also fumbled one time in the red zone at the 4-yard line. And again, the game was decided by defense. The Broncos, even after what happens this weekend and happens Sunday and Monday night, John, they're going to have a top-10 defense, and that's going to carry them through all the growing pains that Peyton Manning's having with the Gary Kubiak offense, and it's going to make them a contender and probably a favorite to win the AFC West.
So you said to me earlier that Peyton literally kind of went with his own offense in the final 2 minutes, and that's what won them the game. He kind of got away from the Kubiak offense.
Yeah, Phil Sims, who was doing the game with Jim Nance, is the one who pointed out. And of course, he knows better than anyone. He's stud quarterback, by the way, on the Giants team back then.
That's right.
As a backup. I mean, just crazy similarities, a lot of ironies to those situations that the listeners can go back and say, wow, talk about history repeating itself. But Sims pointed out last night, John, and said, look, Peyton Manning has taken over this offense. He has audibilized out of everything, and he's saying to Gary Kubiak, let me do it my way and see how it works and get away from C.J. Anderson in the running game. And once you start to get into his rhythm, Look, the bottom line is Chiefs go ahead 27-20 with 2 minutes to go, and they couldn't stop Peyton Manning. They tie the game loose.
Yeah. I thought Manning overall was pretty good. I thought there were some dead quails he threw up there. But I think if they give him protection and his feet are untouched, he's actually still pretty good.
What a great point you just made. He was sacked 17 times last season, John. He's already sacked 9 times this year. So that's a red flag. He's not the kind of guy at 39 years old that could take a lot more hits. I heard Doug Flutie, famed midget quarterback, say, look, when you're that age and you get hit, it takes you to Friday to get over some of these hits, where if you're a 23-year-old, by Tuesday you're up and running. So I think he's pretty sore right now. They got 10 games in their next game. But that's something to look forward to with the Broncos. is how their offensive line could protect Peyton Manning, or else that could be a short season for him.
All right, let's talk about the big four takeaways that we had from last week. First takeaway for me is the injuries. Keekly out with a concussion, Dez with a foot surgery, Suggs gone for the season with an Achilles. It seems that the injury reports seem to be leading the NFL news on ESPN. Overblown, media looking for something. What's your take on this? Or are these really bigger injuries than what we're normally used to having in the first 2 weeks?
I think it's a combination of both. And let's just look at the culture of the NFL right now. You can't watch a highlight show after a game without seeing fantasy stats somewhere in the graphics. So right now you're looking at injuries because, one, the NFL will never admit this, but $90 billion is bet on it. So if there's a key injury, are you going to bet that game? I mean, when a guy goes out, they don't know, then the line's automatically off the board until they figure out what the injury report is, which comes out on Wednesday. And again, fantasy. You know, you talk about a Dez. Dez Bryant was the second guy in fantasy for receiving last year behind Jordy Nelson. So that affects your fantasy. And then, yeah, and again, we're seeing a lot more injuries. I think every team in the NFL in week two has a guy in injury reserve, whether it's injury reserve with a designation to return or out for the season. That hasn't happened since 1983, and that's something to look for. I mean, as the season goes on, is that they're hitting harder, and is it an aberration? I don't think so. I think right now you're just seeing a ton of injuries. Talk about the Raiders. They walked out of Sunday's game against Cincinnati. They were feared that Derek Carr was out for the season, Charles Woodson, Nate Allen, their starting safeties. Well, some of those injuries are significant, some are not, and you're talking about the big ones with Keekly, Suggs, and Dez. There was a lot more injuries last week, and obviously we're going to get some more coming up this week, and unfortunately.
All right, takeaway two, you touched on the Raiders. They were horrible, more horrible than we can imagine. At one point, I looked, and it was 30-0. You're watching this. Was it that bad?
It was that bad. You know, I'm an NFL junkie and I'm a Raider Nation junkie, and I probably missed two games since 1980. Okay. And I don't ever remember an opener, and they've had some horrible years. This is they're in their 13th year, 12 years of losing, averaging 4 wins a season, but I've never seen a more non-competitive opener than the Raiders had. And if you're in the Raider Nation right now, there's no excuses. I heard Jack Del Rio, a guy that I really respect, say in the press conference, we weren't prepared to play. Huge red flag. Now, that's on the coaching staff, John. As you know, you follow, you're religious into this sport also. That's on the players also. So I'm starting to think about the culture of the team right now. If you're turning around 25 players on your roster every year, and the average team does 15, the Raiders average 25 different players, and you're bringing in new coaches, and you continue to stink, then you got to go above that. You got to look at the Reggie McKenzie, the general manager, and Mark Davis, who I think's done a brilliant job taking over his father's legacy, and I'm dumbfounded. You were asking me, you know, was it that bad? Never seen an opener of a team that lethargic, not ready to play. They were never in the football game. Home opener for those fans. That's one of the most zealous home base. The Raiders in Oakland saw it every game. You lived in Los Angeles. You know the L.A. fan base, and they're talking about the Raiders moving back to L.A. Do you think Los Angeles would put up with 12 straight years of 4-win seasons? Look at the Lakers season tickets fall off after having 20 straight great years and 2 lousy years. This is something to look forward to as far as a story-wise in the future. Why don't the Raiders move to Los Angeles? I'm taking it a step further. And I'm saying if the Raiders continue to stink, I their chances of going to L.A. are slim and none.
Wow. Those Hollywood people are so fickle.
Yes, they are.
Okay, so the Raiders get the Ravens this week. Ravens actually staying on the West Coast. You expecting better from the Raiders? To be honest with you, I kind of think I am. I think it was a wake-up call to them.
Me too. I absolutely do. I talked about the injuries. I mean, there's a chance Charles Woodson can play. Derek Carr has a full week of practice. That scared every Raider fan out there. It's one thing to lose, but to lose your young quarterback in the sophomore season would have been devastating. And I think that it's at home, and I'm even giving the Raiders a chance to win. I'm not being a homer in that situation. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, you know what? The NFL is a crazy league. We're going to talk about some games that were crazy over last weekend, and it's a cliche. Any given Sunday, a team in the NFL can win. I give the Raiders a chance on this one. Yes, they will play better.
Okay, takeaway three, 49ers defense was absolutely superb, or Adrian Peterson was running in quicksand. Boy, were we wrong on this one.
You know, of all the games last weekend, John, this is the one that surprised me the most. The 49ers come to the season, and every media pundit, including myself, and everyone I've talked to, my sources says, this team is horrible. It lost seven defensive starters through attrition, through retirements, through injuries, through the police blotter, and they went out there and just dominated a Viking team who I had going to the playoffs as a wild card. Mm-hmm. Adrian Peterson, John, 10 carries for 31 yards, all right? Here's a guy who claimed before the season, I'm getting 2,500 yards. Well, now you have to average about 220 the rest of the year, Adrian. So you got your work cut out for you. It was a huge, huge stunner for everyone. And you know what? Congrats to Jim Tom Sula. If you look up his resume and how he came into the league and how he just fought to become a head coach, it's a great story. And Colin Kaepernick, here's a great byline to this. Colin Kaepernick went to the same quarterback coach and actually worked out with Tim Tebow in the offseason. Kaepernick got it. Tim Tebow didn't. I saw a much improved Colin Kaepernick. I saw a guy making his reads, not looking to run. When he did run, it was a scramble more than a read option to run. So, yes, I think we were wrong on this one. And I think the 49ers right now, I mean, look at that division. Wow. Arizona, Seattle, the Rams, and San Francisco. Besides the AFC East, all those teams won with Buffalo, Miami, New England, and the Jets. I think the NFC West is right there with them as the best division in football.
Okay, before we get to take our next take, let's Niners go to Pittsburgh. Certainly they've got some defensive swagger. The Steelers, I mean, they could be 0-2. I kind of have the Niners in this one, even though I liked what I saw from the Steelers against the Pats. But the factor for me is, could this be a hangover game for the Niners because they played late Sunday night and then they got to go to the East Coast?
Yes. Great point. But I like the Steelers in this one for one reason. What beat the Steelers against New England on the first Thursday night game, and now and obviously Pittsburgh has 10 days to prepare for this, was Tom Brady. If Colin Kaepernick can be the guy to beat them throwing the ball, you got to remember, Carlos Hyde for the Niners had 168 yards rushing against Minnesota. I don't think Carlos Hyde, I think Reggie Bush might be out this one. I don't think they're going to get that against the Pittsburgh defense. I think Pittsburgh at home, I love Ben Roethlisberger. I have him up there. I think he's the second best quarterback in the league to Tom Brady. People argue with me and say it's Aaron Rodgers. I like Big Ben, so I like Pittsburgh in this one.
Okay, Minnesota is home with Detroit. You know, he's going to be playing indoors again. Well, yeah, he's going to be playing. No, they play outdoors now. That's right. Any uptick for him? I mean, he doesn't have to face Ndamukong Suh, that's for sure.
Do you ever get the feeling, John, that there are quarterbacks in this league, and I'll go back to the old days, the Burt Jones and the Steve Barkowskis, and we went back and we lived in the 70s with the Jersey Joe Pisarcik fumble. Do you think Matthew Stafford is one of those guys that's going to have terrific stats in his seventh year and just never get to that echelon to being an elite quarterback? They're up 21-3 on the Chargers going into halftime last week, and the Chargers came out and completely shut him down.
Yeah.
Detroit's another team that was playoff bound last year. You lose Sue, huge loss for them. I mean, you just saw them get out coached in the second half, and that was the biggest coaching adjustment of any game last weekend was what the Chargers did to Detroit. I like Minnesota in this game, because I still think Minnesota is a decent football team, and I think it's just one game last week. They played a 49er team they weren't prepared for. I don't like Detroit in the road in this game. I think Peterson has a better game, and if the Chargers could put up 550 yards of offense against Detroit, why can't Minnesota?
Mm-hmm. All right, takeaway four. Marcus Mariota had the greatest rookie opening day. No, make that the first opening half in the history of the game. It had to surprise you, even though you think he was pretty good. That was surprising.
That was my second big surprise of the weekend, besides San Francisco dominating Minnesota. I mean, to go into Tampa Bay, and we always talk about, you and I always talk about coaches on the hot seat. When we get into about the fourth week of the season, Lovie Smith's the guy is going to be in that hot seat. They were abysmal last year, 2-14. They hired this guy, and they took a downturn last year. And what they opened up with, John Clayton from ESPN said something that I thought was just absolutely terrific in comparing Jameis Winston and Mariota. He goes, Jameis Winston's not as good an athlete as Mariota. Mariota is a very good athlete. Mm-hmm. He's the same height, but he just knows how to get around that pocket. It surprised me, but it doesn't. It's the game surprised me in how it played out, but not that Mariota's a good quarterback. Ken Wisenhunt's a great coach for quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
Okay, the head coach of the Heat. He was terrific in the tutelage when he was with Pittsburgh as an offensive guy with Ben Roethlisberger. And what did he do with Philip Rivers the last couple of years? Rivers didn't even need it, but Rivers has come out and said, look, I gained strides when having Ken Whisenhunt as my quarterback coach. Well, now Mariota has him as his head coach and quarterback coach. Look, Tennessee fans, great fan base out there. You live in that part of the woods, it's good for the game. They're gonna be something to watch this year.
Mariota faces the Browns this week. I'm certainly interested in the Mariota versus Manziel matchup, possibly of Heisman's, but it doesn't look like I don't think Manziel is going to start based on what I'm hearing. At this point, though, I do think some defenses are going to figure him out, but I don't think this week. So I still got the Titans.
Yeah. You're one of the world's leading authorities, John, on the media. You've written books about how the media portrays things, how they try and influence, how people are sucked into it. And I've noticed with the media, there's three things. And I'm not going to single anyone out, but the two biggest ones are Fox, obviously, and ESPN. And there's three – I think we're more into celebrity right now than we are actual players. And there's three people I've kind of cornered this into some of the shows that ESPN always talks about. It's Tim Tebow, Robert Griffin III, and Johnny Manziel, all right? Tebow Stinson's out of the game. Robert Griffin III has taken one of the biggest slides I've ever seen. He's running the scout team as a safety for the Redskins in practice. And Manziel, who I don't know what the love affair is with this kid. He sucked last year. When he got into the game, he wasn't prepared to play. I think he is starting. He took the full reps. As we speak today, he's taking the full reps right now in practice. I don't think Josh McCown has passed the concussion protocol to play this week, and once you go through your Friday practice, you're the quarterback. The Saturday's just the walkthrough. I got the Titans too. I haven't seen anything in Johnny Manziel to say to me that he's gonna he could lead this team and make the plays. He came in for McCown last week, threw a nice 54-yard touchdown, and then when the Jets figured him out, he threw a pick and then fumbled twice in his own red zone. So I got the Titans.
All right, you're listening to The John Daly Show. You can follow all of our sports stuff on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports. We're talking with Eric Snyder. He's the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also hear him on the Power Hour on Fox Sports Radio 1340 in Las Vegas. A little later, we're going to give you our fantasy picks. Let's look at more of this week's games coming up. And I'll highlight the games that I think are the important ones, at least to me. New England goes to Buffalo. I like Buffalo on this. They looked phenomenal versus the Colts. They're at home again. I didn't think the Patriots looked that good, and I'm a Patriots fan. I thought the Pats were lucky to get that win against Pittsburgh. Where do you stand?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I always stress this, and I stress it in every sport. I'll stress it now. Last year, Buffalo was a very good team with Doug Marrone. They were showing they were making that turn. Now you bring in Rex Ryan. Buffalo had a top seven defense last year. Right now they're ranked third in the league, okay? Huge, there's going to be a raucous crowd in Orchard Park. I like Buffalo in this game. I still think, look at their skill position play. They didn't get Sammy Watkins going. Now, keep this in mind. LeSean McCoy hasn't practiced all week with the hamstring. That's going to hurt them. But Percy Harvin stepped up. Tyrod Taylor is a good young quarterback who sat 4 years behind Joe Flacco and really picked up the game. I like Buffalo.
Okay, next game, San Diego at Cincinnati. I'll be curious to see because both these teams had decent performances if they can continue. However, I'm taking Cincinnati at home. I don't know. Maybe I'm going back to every time San Diego seems to go to Cincinnati, it's horrible weather or it's icy or snowy. It's not going to be this week. But I just think they have a tough time going to the East Coast.
I'm taking Cincinnati at home also, but I'm just not a big fan of Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton. Yeah, they dominated the Raiders, but so could your local high school team. It was that bad a performance by the Raiders. So, I mean, you know, the Raiders asked a couple of teams from the Lingerie League to practice with this week and do a scrimmage, and they said, no, it's okay. We're good. So, I mean, I'm taking Cincinnati at home, but it would have shocked me if San Diego went in there. No, because San Diego, there's a guy. Look, Philip Rivers is one touchdown pass away from overtaking Dan Fouts as the most touchdown passes in San Diego history. Yeah. I mean, he just, and then we all love Dan Fouts, great announcer, great player, Hall of Famer. Rivers is one of these guys that is no athletic ability, and he just has the heart. I mean, he reminds me of the movie Rudy. Remember that line? The kid has no athletic ability, but if my players had half the heart that this guy would, we'd win the national championship. Era Parsegian, coach of Notre Dame, said. Same with Rivers. I'm taking Cincinnati at home, but would it shock you if San Diego won?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. Nothing would shock me. Dallas at Philly. Both teams had very odd first games. Philly, just they just don't impress me yet. I don't know if I'm buying into Chip Kelly yet. Dallas, to me, they're just all over the place. However, I am going to go with Dallas in Philly on this one.
Well, I disagree with you. I'm going Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia did enough. I think Atlanta is a much improved team. They go on the road. For the fans that didn't watch the game, they miss a 40-yard field goal, which is a chip shot in the NFL, to take the lead. And then they get the ball back, and I think Sam Bradford was brilliant in his first game back. I mean, the two interceptions he threw bounced off his receiver's hands. I thought they played a very good Atlanta team well. Let's face it, I love Tony Romo. Tony Romo, I think, is right there as an elite quarterback. He has more fourth-quarter comebacks than any quarterback we could mention the last 2 or 3 years. And the Giants gave him that game. You're a Giants fan. We didn't even talk about that game. But the Giants, if you could tell me who looked more impressive last week, Philadelphia did to me more than Dallas. I don't think Dallas' defense, which gave up a lot of yards to a Giant team, I don't think they can hang with Philly in Philly's home opener.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't talk about that Giants game. I mean, Coughlin, I give Coughlin credit for coming out and saying, hey, I screwed up, and boy, did he ever.
I think Eli screwed up. You're an $84 million quarterback, and he was told, my sources told me, very valid sources told me, he was told, look, you're going to do the read option, you're going to run out. If it's not there, go down. It'll take 40 seconds off the clock, which gives the Cowboys, after you kick the field goal, about 42 seconds to try and go length of the field to score a touchdown. That's a lot less than minute 35, don't you think, John?
Yeah, just, no. Yeah,
I mean, Hank Stram had a great line. Real quick, Hank Stram, famed coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, said, 4 games you're going to have in your season are decided by special teams and clock management. Well, guess what? The Giants just had a team decided by clock management, and it cost them. And, you know, New York media is killing the Giants over it. I think that Eli Manning's got to be a little accountable for this also.
All right. Seattle at Green Bay. Seahawks could go 0-2 if they lose in Green Bay. Green Bay, to me, was a little suspect against the Bears. Bears were a little bit more surprising. However, I'm going to go with Green Bay. I just think the holdout of Cam Chancellor is really hurting the Seahawks more than people realize.
And this is a game where everyone in their right and their mother's going to pick the Packers and say, oh, God, it's going to be redemption for last year's championship game. I wouldn't be shocked if Seattle went in there and won. This is the kind of game that Seattle just steps up and plays. Losing Cam Chancellor is huge, and they're $900,000 apart. Are you kidding me? Yeah. That's pennies in the NFL world. Paul Allen's the richest owner in the league. I mean, this is Microsoft. Are you kidding me? I don't get it. I'm baffled for words to figure out why this hasn't happened. That's a Pro Bowl guy. I like Green Bay in the game. Again, all these four games that we've circled, I wouldn't be surprised if any of the road teams won. If Seattle, Dallas, San Diego, and New England all went into those venues and won, I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, so what's your key game to watch this week that we haven't touched on?
My key game to watch this week, and I think we're starting to get into the coaches that are going to be on the hot seat, is St. Louis at Washington. A game that wouldn't be on anyone's radar. I really love Nick Foles as a quarterback. Nick Foles got a $13 million a year extension in preseason. Never played with the Rams before to show you how much they thought of the guy. Had a brilliant game against Seattle. I think Jay Gruden's on the proverbial hot seat. He's in the last year of his contract, I believe, or the last year with an option. And it's tough to play for Dan. It's tough to coach for Dan Snyder in Washington. He goes through coaches like Al Davis used to. And I believe that if they lose their first 2 games at home, if they go on the road and you got games against the Giants on the road and then Philly and then you got Green Bay, they go 0-5 going there by, that this could be the start of something where you see the first coach whack during the season.
All right, you're listening to The John Daly Show. You can follow all of our sports stuff on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports. We're talking with Eric Snyder. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also hear him on the Power Hour on Fox Sports Radio 1340 in Las Vegas. Okay, let's go to our fantasy picks. You did great with Kelsey and Aaron Rodgers last week, but not Adrian Peterson. How about this week?
Well, I'm going with Adrian Peterson. I'm always going to go with Adrian Peterson and LeSean McCoy, but the fact that McCoy hasn't practiced and his hamstring's acting up, and the Patriots really play well against the run. Even though they gave up 127 yards to D'Angelo Williams last week, the Patriots' run game defense seems to pick up as the season goes. I like Adrian Peterson, and here's another. I mean, I hate to say this, but Marcus Mariota, they have a package for this guy with the read option, and Cleveland's run defense is last in the league. I could see him as a quarterback getting 100 yards rushing. We'll remind people next week when we talk that I said that, if it happens. So I like Adrian Peterson as a running back.
Okay, and Marcus Mariota at quarterback?
No, I like him running. I'm talking about running as a quarterback because you still get yard. You still, that goes towards your quarterback fantasy. But I'm just saying my second running back would be Marcus Mariota this week because you got a lot of tough matchups going on.
Okay, who's your QB? Who's your quarterback?
Well, boy, you're gonna love this one. Okay, I like Sam Bradford this week. I think Sam Bradford's going to throw for over 350 yards and three touchdowns against Dallas' defense, which didn't impress me against the Giants at all. We just talked about that. I like Sam Bradford. I like Ben Roethlisberger. I think Roethlisberger's going to be able to throw the ball against San Francisco. I just think that they're geared. Right now, Pittsburgh's geared. They're a passing team first, running game second. I think they're going to be able to open up some spots there, and they're going to get Heath Miller going. I like Roethlisberger also.
Okay, wide receiver.
Wow, that was tough because all my wide receivers that I have are getting injured. Okay,
yeah.
I like Jeremy Maclin going in last night. Didn't do much. Mm-hmm. That was my number one guy, so I would have been wrong on that one. Wow, it's so tough right now because the matchups this week are. I think, okay, here we go. I think Randall Cobb of the Packers could have a big game against Seattle. Even though I think Seattle could step up, I said that, and win the game. I think Randall Cobb or James Jones, either one of Green Bay's wide receivers could have a huge game. Okay. I also like Amari Cooper of the Raiders. All right. Baltimore's got a decent defense. I know that. They kept Denver in check. But I still think Amari Cooper's going to have a breakout game this weekend.
Okay. Tight end.
Ooh, boy, it's so tough in this league. The kid for Cincinnati that had 102 yards and two touchdowns, Tyler Eifert. Eifert of the Cincinnati Bengals against San Diego. Okay, because Detroit didn't move the ball in the first half and parts of the third quarter, and San Diego's weakness is that the Monte Tails and linebackers covering the tight ends, and right now Cincinnati's changed their offense into what San Diego usually is, and that's going to Antonio Gates. Their tight end is huge in their offense. I'm going to go Tyler Eifert of the Bengals.
Cool. And defense?
Wow, that's a tough one. I'm going to go with the St. Louis Rams. Aaron Donald, who's a defensive end for the St. Louis Rams, had the major hit with Michael Brockers to stop Marshawn Lynch on 4th-and-1. One defensive player rookie of the year last year over Khalil Mack of the Raiders. Okay, I think they're just going to shut down Washington. I'm not a big Kirk Cousins guy. I wouldn't be shocked if Washington doesn't get more than 10 points in this game. And there's a pick six, and there's a lot of sacks in this game.
Okay, all right, good. Last team standing. Now, last week you said Dallas, and I took them. I'm going to send you the bill for the soiled underwear, but what about this week? To me, it's either Tennessee or St. Louis.
Disagree. Like both picks. I think the Stone Cold Lock, and I'm saying lock, and I never say these when I do a show. New Orleans Saints. They're at home against Tampa. I don't see New Orleans losing, John, 2 weeks in a row to open the season. They're at home against Tampa. And other than the abysmal performance by the Raiders, Tampa wasn't that far behind. In their home opener. I mean, they scored a couple touchdowns in garbage time, but they got blown out, too, by Mariota and the Titans. I like New Orleans in a lock to beat Tampa Bay.
Okay. Now I realize why we didn't cover the Giants-Dallas game, because I was holding this out to the end here, and that's why we didn't mention it earlier, because I wanted to talk about how phenomenal the ending of that game was and the ridiculousness of it. So now I understand why I didn't bring this up earlier, because I was saving it for the end there.
You know, John, and this is why we love the NFL. We're already in week two. It goes so fast. And you look at the drama from week one games with the Rams and the Seahawks, and then you had the great drama with the Giants and Dallas. The Philadelphia Monday night game against Atlanta was great. And look at last night. Last night's game was a classic. Back and forth, and it holds your attention. The NFL is getting off to a great start ratings-wise. And we talked about it in one of our previous shows, and you brought up that, are we getting too much into what goes on with the off-field issues? Is it dominating the sport, or is the sport that good? And I'm going to butter my own cup. The sport's that good. It's proven the first week, and now the start of week two, that the sport is just terrific as far as drama. It's always going to be, look, there's 16 games every week, and there's going to be 8 games that are great. And yeah, I don't know if you could say that in every other. So I don't know if there's 16 Major League Baseball games. There's 30 teams. There's 15 Major League Baseball games every day. I don't know if 7 of the 15 are really great. You know, yes, it'd be three or four pitching performances. And I'm not sitting there as being a Brandeis and following the grid of the NFL. But the sport right now is getting off to a great start as far as competitive, the competitive level of the game and just the drama.
Wouldn't you say, though, once you get to about week four, we're only in week two now, teams are feeling everything out. They're feeling themselves out. They're beginning to see what's working, what's trending, and things that they were even surprised at. So to me, I don't really see the trends till like week four or week five. And this is just kind of feeling it out right now.
You're 100% right. Can I give you one quick stat that's really compelling? Week two was the most important week in the National Football League. You know why?
Because if you go 0-2, you're in trouble.
Great. Phenomenal. If you go 0-2, John, you have a 27% chance of making the playoffs. 27% and about a 13% chance of making the Super Bowl. You look at some teams, you're looking at Seattle going 0-2, okay? You look at Philadelphia going 0-2. These are teams that we had. Look at the Colts.
Steelers.
You're asking about intriguing games. The Steelers. I mean, the Colts play the Jets on Monday night in Indianapolis. I like Indianapolis to win that game, but if the Jets step up and have a great performance on defense like they did against Manziel and the Browns, I mean, you're looking at some marquee teams that everyone had paid to go to the playoffs starting on 0-2. So week two is really a big, big moniker for deciding what could be the rest of the 14 games you have. What's your playoff schedule looking like? So
there you have it. All right. Another great week. He is Eric Snyder. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also hear him on the Power Hour on Fox Sports 1340 with Paulie Howard. That's in Las Vegas. Boychik, thank you so much.
Great talking to you. Have a great week.
As always, my friend, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. And you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports. We will catch you next time, folks. Enjoy the games.
For more on John Daly, including his blog postings and instructional videos, go to informnotinflamed.com.